Well, it's good to welcome you again to our Sunday service. And we begin today with some words from Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. And I sing for joy at the work of your hands. You, O Lord, are exalted forever, my rock and my salvation. And so, as we come to gather together to worship the Lord, let me begin by saying thank you again for keeping in touch, for your contacts, and this week heard from Graham and from Peter and from Odette, from Stuart and from Robin and from Peter and Kath. And I'm so glad to hear your news and that you are all keeping well. So now let's turn to our Bibles, to Matthew 26. And today, Stuart is going to read these verses for us.
Today's reading is from Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. Jesus' three prayers. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Thank you, Stuart, and before we come to hear from God's word, let's just sing a song that asks the Lord to speak to us from his own word.
Come to you to receive.
come to God's Word now, we move on in our Christian prayer series. And we've seen that true Christian prayer is always to the Father. That's who we are speaking to when we pray. And I have to say that studying this teaching from Jesus for this series that we're doing together, this series on true Christian prayer, I have to tell you that it's been something of a corrective to myself, as I realised I'd become quite sloppy in my own coming to God in prayer. Some ways it had slipped to the back of my mind that all prayer is always to the Father. Now obviously God is one God, but the Godhead is three distinct persons. So I don't pray directly to Jesus. I don't pray directly to the Holy Spirit. I pray to the Father. But of course, I can only come to the Father through the Lord Jesus and by or with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what do I mean when I say that all Christian prayer goes to the Father through Jesus? Well, I suppose to put it at its simplest, the distinctive thing about true Christian prayer is that it has at its centre the Lord Jesus. True Christian prayer is the difference between just religion and Christianity. And so here is some of Jesus' teaching on how to pray. And the first thing that Jesus says to his disciples and to Christians is to make sure that you pray with sincerity. We began this series looking at Matthew 6 where it's recorded in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus answers the disciples and tells them how they should pray. And so in verses 5 and 6 we read, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And Jesus here is pointing out that some people say all the right words in prayer. They have the right attitude, raise their hands to heaven. But Jesus says they're not praying to God. Actually, what they're doing is performing to the crowds. It's all for other people to see and hear. And Jesus warns us about that, and the test of true prayer is if or when you speak to your Father when no one else is there to hear. That's the prayer that counts. Pray with sincerity. And then in teaching how to pray, Jesus goes on to say that we should always pray with simplicity. Verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 6. "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Jesus' model prayer, we call the Lord's Prayer, is just so simple. It's just a few sentences long. You don't have to be a professor of theology. You don't have to know a whole load of scripture verses. You don't need a special language with lots of long words. Christian prayer is not about how long or how impressive it sounds. No, Jesus says, pray simply. Pray, just as you would talk to a dear friend. Just use ordinary language. Anything else, any kind of special prayer language which you never speak in any other place, Jesus describes as babbling. And you don't need to rabbit on. Because Jesus says, before you open your mouth, your Father knows your needs. Now, having said that, my own experience is that it helps me when alone in prayer to speak my prayer, not just to think it. So, pray sincerely and pray simply. And then Jesus teaches that we should pray with humility. We should not come to God in a brash way, breezing into his presence with a kind of loud arrogance. And in Luke 18, Jesus illustrates this with the story that you know so well of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee comes to God loud and arrogant, goes right to the front of the temple, makes sure that everyone can see him. He's full of himself. He recites all the things that he does, and how he gives this and that and the other. He's just so proud and so brash. But then there's someone else in the story. He's a hated tax collector. This man stands away from the front, keeps his distance, and doesn't look for attention, quite the reverse. Almost hoping that no one sees him. Can't even bring himself to look up, but bows his head, and he said, O God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Prayer that is half a sentence long, but a prayer that is prayed with sincerity and humility. And Jesus said that it was this man, this prayer, not the loud, arrogant, proud man, not the one with all the hands waving around. It was this man, the humble man, whose prayer God heard and answered. And when we come to our Father, we come as little children, totally dependent on God. He is great, we are small. Another thing Jesus speaks to his disciples and to us is that true Christian prayer is never to be casual. The verses that Stuart read for us is the account of when Jesus and his disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane just hours before the cross, and we read that Jesus went away on his own to pray, leaving the disciples behind. He said to them, "Now, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And what a lesson that is for us. Satan and his cohorts are at work, always at work, opposing Christian prayer. Every time you seek to pray, Satan's hosts are against you. And so we are to be alert to our own weaknesses. The devil will play on our weaknesses. You can't be a casual prayer. You know, you can't just slip into prayer. Or, well, let's have a prayer meeting. Watch out, says Jesus, and pray that Satan won't have you. He knows where you are weak. He will play on that and make all the inevitable distractions that will bombard your mind to stop you from praying. You fill your mind with wrong things. And when that happens, Jesus says, cry out to God. Draw near to God we read in James, draw near to God and Satan will flee. And one final thing regarding Jesus' teaching on how to pray, and you find it in Luke 11, when Jesus says, pray to your Father, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us. And once again, this is such an important part of prayer, and is often the reason our prayers are ineffective. The Christian who holds grudges, the Christian who is always finding fault with another, falling out with others, the Christian who is a constant criticizer, Jesus says, can't pray in an accepting, pleasing way to the Father. The Christian is the one who has been forgiven so much, and therefore should always be ready, even eager, to forgive others and to pray for others, asking God to bless them. God's loving forgiveness of us has to have an effect on our praying if we are to have true, acceptable prayer that is honouring to our God. God doesn't listen to prayers from people whose hearts are unforgiving. So how should we pray? Jesus says, don't just mouth some words. Pray with absolute sincerity. Mean it. Make sure that our prayer comes right from our hearts. And pray with simplicity. No need for some flowery Victorian language. No need to turn prayers into preaching to impress others. And pray with humility. We come to God who is great, and we remember that we are small. And never be casual. When you bow in prayer, all hell is against you. All hell is geared to stop you having a meaningful prayer life and having that alone time with your Father. And pray with a heart of love, even for those who have hurt you and for those who you don't like. And so, loving Father, we thank you for feeding us with your word. Help us to learn from the Lord Jesus how we should pray, that we may give ourselves to this one goal of living to please you. And we ask this in and through the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Just speaking about prayer has made me think, and I don't want to rabbit on about this at all, but just to say to you that Pauline and I, particularly when I was having to NHS shield, couldn't get out, found that a good way to witness was to make a contact with all those delivery drivers. I've been very fortunate that the NHS has released a delivery slot for me each week, and so we've had a shopping delivery every week, and of course I've ordered things from Amazon, etc. So we've had dozens and dozens and dozens of people come to our door that we would normally not have. And for each one who has come, I've given them, I gave them a pound coin, a pen, one of those church pens, and a Roger Carswell tract. Put it in a little bundle, left it on the step, and told them what it was for. And each time that we've done that, I've prayed simply that in that wonderful way that God would open someone's eyes, at least one out of all those, and we must have given 50 or 60 away, to the truth of the gospel. So we can all simply pray things like that. And might I just say to you that I've got a new tract from Roger Carswell that deals with this coronavirus epidemic. It's a good tract, and I've got a couple of hundred of them, and I ordered extra pens too. So if anyone wants to do what I've been doing and just to give out, people will receive them. Then they're here, or I can get some to be left at church. Use them and pray that the Lord might break through into people's lives. And next time I want to look at Jesus' teaching on what to pray for. I've seen, spoken to us about how to pray. Now I want us to look next time on what Jesus encourages us to pray for, what to pray for. So we're going to close singing this song that asks the Lord to captivate our hearts.
With a prayer you fed the hungry, with a cry you stilled the storm, with a look you had compassion on the desperate and forlorn, with a touch you healed the leper, with a shout you raised the dead, with a word expelled the demons, with a blessing broke the bread. Love incarnate, love divine, captivate this heart of mine, till all I do speaks of you.
Let's sing that first verse again.
With a prayer he fed the hungry, with a cry he stilled the storm, with a look he had compassion on the desperate and forlorn, with a touch you healed the leper, with a shout you raised the dead, with a word expelled the demons, with a
I will feel